Hey, great start. You want to know what we're what are we drinking? What are y'all drinking? Wait. What are we all drinking? Oh my God, what a fabulous introduction to a podcast.
You know, just a little, just, you know, just something a little in the Untucked Lounge.
All right. Hello. That was a little peek behind the scenes of the RuPaul's Drag Race podcast here on Reality TV Wrap Ups. I'm your host, Liana Boris, and we are here to talk about episode 3, the third part of the premiere, I guess, is kind of how it feels, of season 13 of RuPaul's Drag Race US. We will be talking about Drag Race UK at the end of the podcast. So definitely stay tuned for that. And we'll talk a little bit about our coverage for that season as it also premiered this week. Now, we have so much to get into, so I don't want to delay us any further. Let me welcome in a woman who's with us week after week, Beth Dixon. Beth, how are you?
I'm feeling really great. I have a different fan today. I have my Oh Honey fan from Trixie Mattel. Oh Honey.
Honey! From well, there's no honey mahogany in this season, but don't worry because we have a man who I love talking to every week, Aman Adwin. Aman, how are you?
I'm great. I'm excited to talk about Drag Race this week. I feel like I enjoyed this episode a lot more than the last one. And I feel like that's a popular sentiment, judging by what I've seen online. So I'm excited to be back. And we're getting closer and closer. This is part 3 of the finale. Like, it's episode 0.75. I guess next week will actually be episode 1. So we're getting there.
We may actually send a queen home one of these days.
Yes, one of these days.
Okay, so I think there's some big picture things that I want to talk about, but let's just briefly, because we wrap things up with the girls from last week after the elimination in this episode, so we get to talk about how, you know, oh, no one went home, all that crying for nothing. There is not a whole lot that really goes on here, but one thing that I noticed, Beth, was this sort of foreshadowing of the two groups, the A squad and the B squad, because we get the, oh, what up, B squad? RuPaul's Drag Race has just developed their very own little caste system.
Yeah, I was watching this and I couldn't help but feel like I was like, oh, this is kind of like Bring It On in a way. I'm like excited to see what happens when these two groups come together. But then I remembered also in season 6, they set up this whole like, what's it going to be like when the second group meets the first group? And there was like cattiness, mostly from Geogun, for like, you know, a second. And then you realize, oh, that's just Geogun's story arc for the entire time. And then like, after the first challenge where they chose their groups, that literally didn't matter anymore. So I'm wondering to see if like it's going to be like that or if this is entrenched a little bit more because there was a competitive aspect where people were brought to the Pork Chop Lounge and the other ones were declared winners. So is that going to be a little chip on the block for the winner group? And will the loser group have a little bit more to prove and sink their teeth into the competition with?
Right, there's room for everybody.
There's room for everybody.
I think also in addition to sort of like group v group, I think there's a different vibe and a different atmosphere with these two different groups. And Aman, to your point, I think that why maybe you enjoyed this episode a little bit more, I maybe enjoyed this episode a little bit more, and why the internet seemed to as well, is because Group B has this feeling of sisterhood. I think it's maybe because they went through something traumatic, and so they're all bonded together. Like, oh, we're here. This is our, you know, theoretically last chance. Like, we don't have time for the cattiness. Like, we don't have time to fight with one another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's the classic underdog story. They were kicked out first, so now they're in a very sympathetic position right now. And on top of that, they're just fucking kind to one another. You know what I mean? They're actually being sisters, even, you know, in the little moments of shade because it's Drag Race, even through all of that, they seem like they've really connected with one another over their shared identity as losers. And yeah, that's losing brings people together. And it was nice to see that.
Yeah. Also, of course, we get the line from Utica about, and I found this on Reddit. This was user MX Klein who posted this, but I don't know why it's like doubling or something. Wait, what is happening? Okay, well, I'm going to share it with you guys anyway on the screen. I get to look down at all the gorgeous little nuggets. I could not get over that. I don't know why there's two of them. Forget that. But
because it was that iconic. We needed to see it twice, like one and a half times. Yeah.
So, yeah, I love that. I think it was just, I don't know, maybe it was, yeah, with the fact that they felt more kind to each other, Amon, that just made me like this group a little bit more. And especially on the rewatch, I think I really was appreciative of the sisterhood and like the love that they were sharing with one another. Not that I don't find the drama fun, but it was definitely a different atmosphere and a different feeling, Beth.
Yeah, I feel like this group has been humbled from the beginning so that they're more likely to just want to support each other and see each other succeed. They have a little bit more of a drive themselves. And in and of itself, that creates an environment that's much more competitive friendly and supportive than the other group that just kind of feels like they're on top of the world and they haven't been knocked down a peg yet. So it'll be interesting to see what happens when these groups come together. Will the first blood be drawn from the winner group? And will that humble them? Or will it be from the group that was in the pork chop lounge? And will that make the heads even bigger on the winner group? I'm interested to see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and thankfully we got Yeah, go ahead, Mom.
Sorry. I forget who said it during one of the work room segments, but they were like, I think it might have been Kimura. She was like, "Promise me that the winner will be from this group. Like, let's stay, you know, strong with the loser circle. Let's do it." And so we're already beginning to see, even with the two groups not being in the same room, there is an element of competition within competition. So I'm interested to see how that'll manifest itself throughout the rest. Will it fizzle out? Most likely it probably will fizzle out once, you know, they all come together after the first Untucked and they're just all happy to not be the first person sent home. But it's nice to see that little bit of competitive edge in a bunch of rootable characters as they've shown throughout this entire episode. So, you know, we've given this episode format a lot of flack, but maybe along the lines, a little bit further down the line, it'll be a little more interesting, maybe.
And one of the benefits of doing it this way, even though I was like, no one's gone home, it's a third episode, no one's gone home, we actually get to know these queens. And I think that that's, unless you're Vanjie, you really don't get a chance to get to know the queens, or even like the second boot, because the edit is spending so much time having to develop the storylines of the other competitors that some of the queens get left behind. And so this is definitely one of the benefits of the edit being this way. I hope that then they get rid of the non-eliminations that may occur later in the season, because we kind of already had that opportunity now. So that, you know, that's the only thing I'm hoping for. But I think after now I've seen this sort of trilogy wrap up, I'm a little bit more optimistic on the format. But, you know, we'll see once the whole season concludes how this fits. The A versus B thing, too, I get very big Survivor vibes. And is this going to be early seasons of Survivor where it's like, we're sticking with the tribe, or are we going to see more intermingling? Is this, more Cambodia style with flipping
all
over the place?
I'm getting David versus Goliath vibes. This is what I'm getting out of it. We have our David group, which is the B group, and we have our Goliath group, which is the A group. So let's see what happens.
Love the analogy. So in terms of the big overall format, you know, we have the same thing as last week where we have the mini challenge, which is two different looks on the runway. Then we have the main challenge, which is to write your own lyrics and choreo a performance to one of RuPaul's songs. So what I've done is what I did last week, which is I put all of the lyrics together. And so we can sort of talk about everything queen by queen. I think, again, that probably makes the most sense. But before we get into the feedback on everybody, were there any other sort of main points, Amon, that you feel like we need to address before we get into each of these queens?
I don't think so. I think most of my main points have to do with the queen specifically, so I'll hold off.
Okay, yeah, believe me. I got a whole thing about Tamisha, so... Yep. Oh, when we talk about her. Beth, what about you? Anything else you want to talk about?
No, I just think that the only thing that I thought was a little different about this group than the other group was that they all kind of looked at each other and went, oh, we have the trade of the season here, which they were referring to Joey J. I mean, I think a few people were looking at Tamisha. I think a few people were, you know, looking around at each other, even Rosé, like that kind of thing. And that was so not the first group's impression of each other. So I think that in itself, I don't know how much of that has to do with like the sisterly aspect that we talked about, where they're just like really supporting each other, or how much of that has to do with, you know, just the luck of the draw, I guess. When you de-drag.
But. It's because Utica gets to look down on all the little nuggets. There's something about the way Utica speaks that just, she enunciates in an interesting way. And so I think I really like listening to her speak. Yeah,
it's very eclectic. And it's not put on at all, because I feel like some of these queens, you can tell that they're trying to be quirky. But with Utica, you just know that girl, like
it's genuine.
Like she just comes from she's one of the children of the corn. She just comes from the farm. Like,
yeah, she like popped out of the womb with like eye makeup all over, like that design. Yeah, definitely. That's very
Utica.
There was
a cow somewhere nearby, a corn silo on the other side, like probably aliens hovering overhead. Yeah. Like it just.
Just flying away as she was birthed. Okay. All right. So the main challenge, just briefly, I don't know if you guys liked this more. Like if you were comparing the two performances, Beth, do you think you liked last week's or this week's?
This one was so much better, hands down, for me. I just felt like the group choreography, even though we saw like how much of a hodgepodge mess it kind of was with so many cooks in the kitchen, like trying to put it together, I felt like the choreography was much more cohesive. I think they did end up working better as a team. And it just looked a little bit more polished. I thought their lyrics sounded great. And I just thought that the queens individually performed better than the queens individually of last episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what it kind of makes me question why some of these professional choreographers are employed. Like, do we need Todrick to come back? Like, how about you just, you know, as part of the casting process, because we know that they cast a lot of these queens for separate reasons, just make sure that you have a bunch of choreographers that you cast every season, and then you can save yourself an entire paycheck. Because, I mean,
there you go.
I think Denali, she choreographed a figure skating routine that like just won a competitor, like some national championship or something like that. I saw it on Reddit.
Oh, wow.
So clearly, like, she's a pro. You can tell Joey J seems to be a pro, like just the way that Joey moves across the stage, had taught ballroom dance, even birthed in a cornfield near a cow, Utica has taken modern dance. Squish the grapefruit. What was it? Yeah. Squish the grapefruit. Praise the sun.
Praise the sun.
Was this, do you think that this was a form of yoga that she decided to just like turn into? Like, is this like Minnesota or is it Missouri? Which one? Minnesota?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Minnesota. Minnesotan yoga dance moves. Brought to drag.
It's modern dance, Beth.
God. Sorry. I'm so sorry.
I mean, I was really surprised by oh my God, I forgot her name. I guess I wasn't that surprised. By Joey J. By Joey J, because, I mean, she walks into the workroom week one talking about filler queen, and then she has such a huge part in this episode, and, you know, it's like a big reason as to why this team was so successful. So filler queen, where, sis? Like, you, I feel like you're really, you know, coming into your own here. Sure, there was some critiques that we'll talk about during the judges panel, but I'm, you know, I don't know why she sold herself so short. Maybe this is what she wanted to do so that people were more impressed with her when she delivers. Maybe we'll see.
That's right. Chicken feathers, who?
We got to see some of that hucking and bucking this time, and it was
clucking and bucking.
Clucking, not hucking. Oh my gosh, I'm a hot mess.
Come on, English lessons.
Come on, hucking.
I really enjoyed Nicole Byer as the guest judge. I mean, she's always fabulous. And to have her back, it's like, oh, thank you. And the fact that she wore, so her outfit was the Crystal Method inspired, Michelle Visage inspired.
Oh,
look.
Was it?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It was
shit.
The red one. Let's see. I think I can pull up a picture. So this was the Crystal Method look. That Crystal was wearing. And so I don't know if you noticed, but like Nicole was wearing something very similar. Yeah, very similar to that.
I did not notice that, but that definitely makes sense.
And I love that. I love that. I love when the guest judges are fans of the show. It just feels so right. It feels so natural and so clean. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, and the number. Yeah,
can we just make a petition to get her on as a permanent judge? Because I was so much more entertained by her than I am by like half of the judges. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love me some Carson. I think that he brings a really important voice. I love me some Ross. I think that he brings a very important voice. But Nicole, come on. She had she had me in stitches. She had really great critiques. I don't know.
And I mean, she's in that world. I can't even she's the head judge of Nailed It, right? Queens. She's the head judge of Nailed It, but she on Why Won't You Date Me? She's interviewed every drag name is definitely how it feels from, you know, like Bob, Ben de la Creme, like all of them have been on Why Won't You Date Me? Shangela.
I have never listened to an episode of Why Won't You Date Me, but my one of my roommates is a big fan of that podcast. And so like maybe like every other morning I get woken up by Why Won't You Date Me? Why? I'm like, what is that? And he's like, it's Nicole Byer. I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. Well, I recommend it. Yeah. Start with somebody that you're like, oh, I want to talk. Like, I want to hear from this person, one of the guests. And then that's how I started listening to it. Was a friend of mine introduced me to the Shangela episode. And then I just started listening to a bunch of them. And then, you know, once you kind of fall in love with Nicole, it spirals. But anyway, this is not a Nicole Byer podcast. This is a RuPaul's Drag Race podcast where you should stay listening to us and wait and go listen to her later. Okay. Stay here. Believe me, we're getting there. It's going to be fun. I promise. Okay. Let's get in to all of the looks from this week and we can talk about the performances. The mini challenge was Lady in the Vamp, which is, you know, very similar to the assignment or whatever it's called that they got last week. It was like Lady of the Day and like Temptress of the Night or something. And then, of course, the main stage was We're Here, We're Sheer, Get Used to It. Let's go ahead and kick things off with Denali. So, Beth, Denali's looks. What are you thinking?
You know, what I liked the most about this was just how diverse all of her looks were. I will say that one thing I'm hoping that she starts to stray away from and show us something a little different with, and I'm going to say this for a couple different queens as well, is the silhouette. So the middle one is a little different, obviously, but she has the same kind of similar silhouette where it's a shorter, almost cocktail dress length, maybe like a poofy sleeve or something right here. It's very ice skater-esque costuming. And it looks really cute on her, and she does a really good job pulling it off, and she has really unique concepts. I mean, look at how different all of these dresses are. But one thing I like, as soon as she came out on that runway look, the last one for the actual category, I went, oh my God, is she going to start getting red about wearing basically the same kind of style dress? I don't know. But I will say I loved all three of these looks. She styled every single one differently with her hair and makeup. I not only got, you know, the Lady of the Day, I also kind of got Lady Gaga vibes out of the first one. Like if like more in the like earlier part of her career. So like
Fame Monster.
Like, yeah. Fame Monster. Exactly. Like coming out and just I just loved the hair combination, that kind of like highlighter yellow with the blue. I loved the blue coming down the leg a little bit. Some of that same fabric. Her vamp look was definitely vampy. I loved it. And that last look was really a unique way to pull off a sheer look. So I think that she has a really unique vision, but I'm just interested to see, are we going to see the same length and style out of her? And I have a feeling we won't, but I just noticed that three of her four first looks that we're introduced to have that similar kind of cut to them.
I think that okay, so overall, I think she probably had the best set of three looks. Well, maybe not. But she was definitely one of the top. I mean, and with the performance also, like, I totally understood why she was in the top two. The one little thing, so I hear your point, Beth, about the silhouette. There's also something about the fit on some of her outfits. Yes. on her chest, not boobies, but like I'm talking like lower chest, rib cage, waist-ish area that just I don't know if it's her silhouette. I don't know if the clothes are like slightly too big, but there's just something that is a little bit off. And unfortunately, in a game of inches, a few inches extra on your garment like does make a difference in ultimately in the judging. And so that's just another like little concern. But I thought she looked fabulous in a lot of these looks.
Yeah, I like to call it the undercarriage look. Right. Section, I mean, just
there we go. Yeah,
a little undercarriage.
Yeah, like so I mean she was fine to me this week. I wasn't that big of a fan of all of her looks. I think the second one for me is probably the strongest, the runway one. I mean, is this the garment that had like the loofah joke? Like, to me it just sort of, it's not my ministry, but if it works for the judges, then I guess it has to work for me. I like the daytime look. I like the fact that the blue crystallization is running down her arm and down her leg. I think that's a nice touch. And I do love the urine yellow wig. But I agree. I think that the fit is a little off, which reminds me, like during the Untucked this week, they talked about what it was like having to get ready for the quarantine season of Drag Race, and how, I mean, Denali was the one that made the comment that the city queens, you guys got lucky because even in the middle of a pandemic, you're still within a sphere of resources. Whereas someone like me who lives in Alaska, like them fabric stores ain't staying open for me. Like I can't even buy ice in Alaska. Like it's crazy over there. So I wonder if that has anything to do with why some of these looks might be a little bit ill-fitting. And I hope that this isn't a thing that we continue to see, because that's not going to be good for you, sis. But I think the strongest look is the second one. So that's what I'm rocking with in terms of Denali this week.
I would go with that excuse, Amon, except for the fact she currently lives in Chicago. So I don't think that she has the excuse.
Ooh, never mind.
Maybe she went back home. We don't know. Yeah, we don't know.
Maybe
quarantine.
She quarantined at home. We don't know that. Please. That's true.
Yeah, the second look, just the way it moved was really, really pretty. Mm-hmm. The way that the skirt moved. And I felt like also she's very deliberate with the outfits that she chooses. Is that just the story that you tell afterwards? Like, yeah, this is the state flower. Yeah, this is a nod to Alaska. Yeah, this is definitely referential. But I don't necessarily think that's the case. I think it's really true, especially, you know, that second outfit, the Moschino fall 2016 inspired look, right? Like that. She has a point and she has a perspective and she's trying to deliver a very specific type of look. And I think her lyrics also were the best in the performance, and she just stood out on stage. You can tell she's a performer, she's a dancer. That ice skating background really helps with her. And I do feel like her being in the pork chop group is maybe beneficial to her, because it allows her to stand out in a way that may not happen depending on the other queens who are around her. So, if you're going to take the good with the bad, I think that this maybe is a good thing for Denali.
I agree. I'm
not sure about that shoe with the third look, with the runway look. I'm not sure about that
the
shoe.
The black.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, she had made the...
That's exactly what I was going to go for. I was going to say there's two things about the last look that made me question a lot. One was the shoe. And the other thing I've noticed, this is kind of a trend with her makeup, is that her contour is so dark that it pulls away focus from whatever you're looking at. So, and specifically, I guess that angle of the picture where you're literally just seeing the contour, it draws focus away from everything else, and which is great. Like, that's a great makeup look. I mean, we've seen people like, you know, Trixie Mattel, or people who have, or like India Farah, or people who have like these really dark, straight lined, kind of not blended contours. But there's something that's a little distracting about the way that she put hers together, because she is so beautifully put together, that for an outfit where you have a black shoe and then white, and then there's just like this dark stripe across your face. Like, I don't know why, but I found like that distracting to her whole look. Whereas it works really well with the second look, for example. And it actually doesn't look that dark.
Yeah, I do see that now with each of them. It's that same dark contour. I wonder if this is also a situation of painting for TV versus painting for the stage.
Probably.
It could be, but we'll have to see. I'd have to go back and look at her her look from week one to see if it was so dark, especially because she was wearing a white. Oh, it was. And she was wearing a white gown. So
it was, again, it was something that, like, you can tell would look beautiful on a stage. But I kind of was just like, for your exact point, I just kind of wrote it off. But now that I'm seeing it just like 1, 2, 3, it is so much more prevalent with an all white look than it is for even like the first look where she has, like, you know, the urine colored hair, as Aman said, or the middle look, which is obviously black. So it kind of fits to have a darker contour. But it just looks a little out of place with the last look to me.
All right. Well, hopefully we will see that soften maybe a little bit. But if not, who knows? Maybe it's her signature look.
I'm here for that.
Well, if you're here for a signature look, let's talk about Ms. Joey J with her signature. I don't wear wigs, but also I did that one time. So, but here, Aman, we see three different looks, no wigs. What did you think of Joey J's looks?
It's very, like, well, it's very grandmother that is still young, that is picking her kids, her grandchildren up from daycare on her motorcycle, and it's really, really cool to the grandkids, but to her peers, it's like, girl, what are you doing?
Are you trying to say New Jersey?
No.
maybe I'm being a little bit too harsh. The girl does not look bad. She doesn't look bad, but it is certainly repetitive. It's like, I mean, in the last one is pretty much the same thing minus the pants. And she, instead of wearing pants, she, you know, decided to wear a shawl, you know? And what we were scared of in the beginning is kind of seeming to, you know, come to light this week. And I'm glad that Michelle said something early. And I'm glad that Joey J said, you know what, I got you. I still have versatility. And Michelle was like, all right, I'll take your word for it. Like, I'm not going to get on you yet. I'm going to give you a chance. And I'm glad that she gave her a chance. And this was a 3 looks in 1 episode. So, of course, when there's no wig all 3 times, it looks more repetitive than it actually is. So I'm going to withhold full judgment until, you know, the next weeks come. But there wasn't a lot of inspiration here between the first 2 looks, and the 3rd look is the strongest, but it should be the strongest because it's the runway look. So I don't know. I just wasn't that enamored with Joey J this week.
Yeah, I felt like, generally speaking, she had a similar silhouette. She had, like, basically kind of like a jumpsuit for the first 2 looks. Esque. I mean, obviously the first one is more of it's a boot than an actual jumpsuit. And when you do both of those without a wig, like, it just doesn't show that you have a lot of versatility. If she had even, I think the best look out of the 3 of them to have a wig on, if she were to choose one, she could have had like a high pony wig for the 2nd look, like a sleek high pony wig. And then that would have been fine. And then you're like, okay, great. She could pull that off and that kind of thing. But I think the main issue with her is not so much that she's not wearing a wig. It's that her hair is styled the same every single time. And that she's just dyed it a different color for the runway. And so I really think that moving forward, part of what I got out of Michelle was less about you have to wear a wig and more so you have to show us some versatility. If you're not going to wear a wig with the way you style your hair, it can't just be the color changes. And I do get that when we look at this competition at the end of the day isn't as open to people who have like their signature look every single episode. You look at the critiques that Max got, that Angina got, all these different people who had a signature look that kind of went against the grain. And the moment they changed it, some of them changed it. And got the axe. And so I'm worried that this is Joey's fate. But I do love this more masculine approach to femininity. I think this is something that we don't see as often on Drag Race, but is very representative of the drag world. This kind of androgynous look, this kind of butch look, these different kinds of things that are very prevalent. And they do represent, a gender or a more masculine approach to a drag queen that is out there. So I'm happy to see that representation. Overall, I thought her looks were fine. They didn't blow me away. But I thought she did a solid job.
Yeah, that's the thing that's like hard when it comes to Joey. I mean, like I said, three looks in 1 week. So there's more room for comparison here as opposed to maybe just one look during an episode. But yeah, I mean, I'm just worried because if you like Michelle said, like she is not looking to change her. Part of the reason that Joey J got on the show was because of the fact that she is a little bit different and that she doesn't wear wigs. But it is a TV show, guys. Like you have to come with more tricks up your sleeve. And the girls that do wear wigs, what sets them apart every week is that they have different ones every time. So, and the ones that wear the same wig also get red. So It really isn't just about the wig. It's about, like you said, versatility. And I'm afraid that if you don't, because if you're not going to wear a wig more often than not, then those looks have to be the talk of the town. They have to blow me out of the water. I have to not even be looking at your face because I'm so focused on what you're wearing, you know, but I don't know if she's going to be doing that. I don't know. I mean, she said she was filler queen and she surprised me with her dancing abilities. And then it brought me right back down with this. I've just been on a roller coaster with Joey J.
So I first of all, I agree with everything that you guys have said, especially in terms of the critiques and it being more about versatility, not necessarily about you have to wear a wig. Her second look, though. Girl, dominate me. Like, I love this. I love, 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 love this. But the effects are diminished, I think, by the repetition, right? Because then you're like, oh, okay, you're really good at that. Good. Good. Like, I love it. I love it. Can I see something else? And that's unfortunately just a byproduct of the show. If she were giving if she were performing right on stage, not on RuPaul's Drag Race, I'd gag for these looks, I'm sure. But It is a little bit more pedestrian just compared to what some of the other queens are bringing. And that's just an unfortunate reality. It doesn't say anything necessarily negative about her. It's just, look, this is RuPaul's Drag Race. This is a 13th season. You know, you're going to have some queens that have been preparing for this for a long time. And I think it was when Ross gave the critique about her last look being, oh, this is the best thing we've seen you in. I was like, is that a read? I think that's a read.
Yeah, because... this isn't that great. And it's, you know, it's the second week.
Don't get me wrong. I love sequins. I love the fringe. I love the random piece of fabric just tied around your head. That's not even a bandana. But if that's the best thing that you're wearing, you know, I don't know. It does make me nervous. But she kicked ass in that challenge. I thought that she really, despite the fact that she spelled her name, I don't even care. Like, it was fabulous. She just brought the energy. Just the way that she exudes power on stage is so captivating to me. I just kept wanting to look at her. And I think that that's something that is really, really hard to train. Like, you just have that energy. You just have that performance ability. And Joey has that.
I agree. I think that probably one of her biggest mistakes was coming out in an intro look that had a wig and then all of it, which wasn't indicative of her style at all.
Right.
And then having an episode where she didn't wear them. And of course, she didn't know that she was going to immediately meet the judges and get on stage and lip sync for her life in the first episode. But that did set up a weird expectation that they're like, oh, okay, cool. She wears wigs. And now why isn't she wearing wigs at all in the second episode?
It's like she wore it to like get the free pass to do this.
Exactly. I did that. Duh. Like, see, I got it out of the way. Now I don't have to do that anymore.
And I'm like, that's not how it works, girl. Put on the wig. Like, if you had just put on a wig literally for one of these, and if you had come in without a wig in your intro look, I'm sure you still would have gotten the same critique. But at least like there would have been the judges for an episode where they see three looks would have seen you trying to do something a little different.
She, to go on sort of a little bit of a different tangent. She's a quote machine, though.
Oh, my God.
And I can see why they put her in like as part of the first pair, because the whole like thing about her was like, I've never written lyrics before, but I'm like super gay. So I'm going to run with that. And then her first look when she comes out wearing shades, she said something like, the sun is so bright, but so am I. Like, so am I. I was like, yes, Joey. Okay. I can see the star quality in her. And I think, you know, she's from, where is she from? Phoenix. Or something. So, yeah, I mean, I think I could imagine, like, if she went to LA, I think she's got growth there, and I'm excited to see, you know, regardless of how she does on Drag Race, how her career takes off. So,
yeah, she's an interesting character. And I think I get a lot of confessional worth out of her, even more so than the competition, which does scare me a little bit. But then we also see a lot of our like best narrators go in the middle. So maybe she'll stick around a little longer than our predictions had her for. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how she does.
Okay, let's go ahead and take a sip of some rosé. Talk about some looks this week, Aman. How did you respond to what rosé put out for us?
I mean, she brought it. You know, these all look like they were like art pieces within a New York art studio. You know, like she pulled from a lot of different places. The first look, very like I think Ross described it as pop art, and that's exactly where my brain went as well. Very Andy Warholian. It's just it tells a bit of a story as well with the spelling of her name at the end. You know, very Sasha Velour from season 9. And then
Jose, who's Jose?
Oh, I love how they probably could anticipate that something like that was going to happen, but they were still being so cheesy and campy with like, oh, Rosé. They're so stupid. But yeah, the vamp look. Yes. I love that face cage. I love the hat. I love the cages around the hips. It's just doing it for me. It's hitting all of the pressure points for me. I love it so much. And you know that she loves it too. Like, she's kind of like, you know, she's sort of like a Valentina or like a Kimora, like where you can tell that they were just living for that garment. She was living for that garment. The third look, I like the look. I'm not the biggest fan of the sleeves. Like, I get the exaggeration of the sleeves, but sometimes I think it was like just during the lip sync, I guess like the functionality of them just wasn't doing it for me because they were kind of moving up and down the arm. You know, you kind of want the effect of like the lip sync between Coco and Alyssa, where Coco is just, but the fact that they were just like moving so much up and down her arm, it sort of like lost that bit of magic for me. But you know, that's just like me nitpicking. I like all three of these looks though.
So she's also a queen that is like, I'm going to come in with fashion, like Alexander McQueen, Moschino inspired, like looks, that big trash heap in the middle of the ocean inspired looks for the third one with all the recycled plastic. It took me a little bit to digest the second one. At first I was like, I want the head piece to maybe like mimic the shape of the peplum. I don't know. But then the more I looked at it, I was like, no, Liana, you love this. Like, you like it. You like it. But Beth, how did you respond to Rosé this week?
I mean, I think that she brought the most versatility out of everybody. And I think that she showed that she can do a whole bunch of different kinds of styles and pull them off. What I like the most about the first look is that you have this very over-exaggerated feminine physique, this hourglass figure. But the way she painted her face was actually quite masculine. Like, it's very androgynous looking. And I actually really love that. The only thing I didn't get out of that was the lady portion. Like, I don't know if it fit the assignment for lady as much as it did just like, look at this awesome dress I have that's, you know, Alexander McQueen inspired, that has pop art, that's Warholian, like all these different things. But I did love the dress itself. I thought it was really great. I mean, the vamp outfit for me, I had the same initial thought you did, Liana, which was I wanted things to kind of match some of the rouging and, you know, the bunching on the sleeves and that kind of thing. But I really do love this. And this is a way that you can pull off those higher like thigh boots with essentially a swimsuit in a way that doesn't just look like thigh boots in a swimsuit. She really elevated it. Exactly. And then with this third look, I really got I'm marching in pride with this look. Like that's what I got out of it. But I love the
it really
color
matches
scheme.
The little thing that we have for our video here. It's like,
yes, that's actually right a good point. Actually, that's absolutely what it is. And I love that she does exactly what she should do. And this is where I hope Joey Jade gets some inspiration, is that her trademark is having that like pink hair, right? And she only did that for one of her three looks, and she did it for the main stage. So hopefully Joey can see like, okay, Rosé is going to always talk about her pink hair. She's going to wear that in some way, or she's going to style it in a different way. So this is where I'm hoping like someone like Joey can see this is how you apply it to this particular competition. But I thought that she did a great job. I loved her performance. I definitely felt like she should have been in the top two as well. So for me, this was a home run of a week for her.
Is hand-dyed plastic sheer? Does that, like, do you think that that fulfills the requirements of sheer?
That's a good point. I felt like the sleeves did, but
I was felt actually like going to ask you guys a similar question, a more basic question on my behalf. I feel like I was able to sort of like get it from the context clues. But what exactly is sheer? Is it just thin material, or is it like, you know, is it shiny thin, see-through? You know, I'm having a little trouble distinguishing.
Yeah, I do like that last week they were given a specific fabric, which was lamé. And then this week they're like, look at sheer things. That's great. Yeah, I feel the same way. I think that sheer for me is something that is typically a thinner material that you can see through. Like that is what okay. I always envision with sheer. But I am not in the fashion industry. So if there is a better way to define it, then please educate me.
Okay. Sheer fabric by the yard for purchase from fabricwholesaledirect.com includes the following fabrics: chiffon, sheer voile, which I assume is a specific type of fabric. Tulle is technically here.
Okay.
There's organza, like a bunch of different types of organza fabric. Here, let's just take a look together. I would say,
so I'm familiar with organza. I didn't know that's what it was called, but
it's not like one specific type of fabric, but it's like opacity on, like it's a color, but it's opaque. Yeah, and you can kind of like see through it a little bit. That's how I would define it.
Gotcha.
And that's how fabricwholesaledirect.com also defines it. And they are the authority on sheer fabric.
And if they would like to sponsor, Rob has a podcast.
Yeah, I'd like to reach out. Please contact me at LianaRJP on Twitter. The plastic for me, I loved the concept, but I did feel like it was plucked from a different runway. And then she just added those big sleeves. Like there was a little bit of that feeling to me. Yeah. I wasn't like the biggest fan of the look. I loved the idea though. Obviously global warming. So like recycled plastic, let's do it. It's hand dyed. That's cool. I love the idea. I just like, for me, there's something about the sheer category that maybe just didn't quite fit, but I think she throws this on a plastic themed runway. And I'm like, yes, mama, let's go.
Yeah. I think she was just counting on the sleeves at that point to fit the assignment.
But the sliding was a good point. I think, I don't know, how do you, like, I'm sure they're heavy, right? So how do you, you know, if you're going to cut off circulation in your wrists, if you try to do it with elastic, like, how do you pin those there? Maybe there's something on the inside you could hold on to. I don't know. But yeah, yeah. I get that. I get that for sure. Her performance, I mean, big singer energy, obviously, because she's Stephanie's child, very Jan. Very getting buzzed by Simon Cowell. Yeah, doing the, she could have done the like arm motions too. No, I mean, clearly top performance, I think. She just had so much energy, and throughout the whole performance, it wasn't just when the focus was on her. And I think, you know, the top three for me would be probably Joey, Rosé, and Denali. Mm-hmm. But I think Rosé with her lyrics really just inch out potentially over Joey. But really super strong performance for her. I think she's another one, like Denali, probably benefited from being in this group.
Yeah, I think that I can't wait to see her come back with the other New York queens that are in the, you know, the A group, and see specifically, I want to see what this relationship with her and Tina Burner is all about.
I'm waiting. So excited. I am ready for it.
So excited.
Because let's be honest. I mean, what I love about Rosé is this like unyielding confidence that she have that like borders on egotistical, which I love for reality shows, specifically for a show like Drag Race. Like, I'm here for it. Specifically when she can like pull it off and she's like, this is why I have confidence, because look at me. So I can't wait to see that come up against Tina, who is very similar in that way, but has more of you know, an aspect of humor and has this, you know, idea of being a legend in New York. So I can't wait.
I feel like she's handling all of this pretty well. Like, I feel like she doesn't sort of, I feel like she saw what happened to her sister Jan and doesn't want to be like, as you know, as well as Jan also took her downfall in Drag Race and memeified herself and all that. I feel like Rosé is kind of like, yeah, I kind of want to win. I don't want to be a meme. So I feel like she's handling it very well. And she's being, you know, very, very gracious with the fact that she lost. She's not really talking a lot of trash yet. So
you
we'll
can
see.
Tell it's in her head, but she's not saying it out loud.
So I'm really excited to see what happens when she gets brought in with the rest of the queens, especially Tina.
Especially Tina. Ooh, I can't wait. Especially because Tina is the one who's been, at least we've gotten the confessionals of, oh, come on, B team. So right. I think this is really going to create a fun rivalry. I'm looking forward to it. Someone else who I look forward to every single time she is on my screen, Tamisha Amon. Oh my God. From the first episode, I was like, I really like her. And this was when I fell in love with her. It's like that meme from Brooklyn Nine-Nine where she gets the puppies. And then it's like, if anyone hurts Tamisha Amon, I will murder all of you and then kill myself or something like that. Like, that's how I feel. She is an international treasure. And did I like all her looks? No. Will I critique them? Yes. But I need to say from the onset that, oh my gosh, I'm obsessed with Tamisha Amon. Come on.
Yeah, the first look is, you know, very old school. I'm getting like, you know, Diana Ross in her pied-à-terre on one of her weekends off from traveling the world with the Supremes. And she's just, you know, having a day drink and she's chilling. Very like, yes, I love it. The second look, I wasn't as enamored. I mean, this picture kind of, it's hard to tell, but I think the picture kind of translates it well as you know, what you saw in the video. I couldn't really tell that it was hair at first. It kind of just looked like, you know, just regular fabric. And I feel like if it were hairier, I guess, that's the first time you'll ever hear somebody say that. If it were hairier, it'd be better. but I just didn't, it just didn't translate that well. But yeah, the last look, I don't think that I enjoyed it quite as much as the judges do, but it is my favorite of the three. I do just love that. I don't even know what you would call that thing that she has going on down the side of the dress that just sort of like fans out on either end. And the fact that she made all of these, like, it just puts that little extra little star quality within the garment, because you know that someone worked and toiled over this. Like, so. I mean, she's bringing exactly what I wanted her to bring to this competition. It's like old school. Like, I make my own shit. I do my own makeup. Sometimes I even might make my own damn wig. Like, show some of these young girls that have all of this stuff at, like, you know, within arm's reach of themselves. Like, show them what it means to actually work at your craft. And I love the fact that both RuPaul and Michelle, we're celebrating that, because it's so important to celebrate where all of this comes from. And you can tell that she grew up in that era of when drag was first becoming a thing. So I'm really, really excited. And I hope that she sticks around. And I take the critique that the judges gave her, like, be bigger. Like, and I just wonder how many more times we're going to get a confessional from Tamisha about how, well, you know, like, I am kind of recovering from having cancer. And so there are some things that I just can't do quite as well anymore. And I sympathize with that entirely. But that does not mean that you can't have stage presence, girl. Like, you know what it means to perform. And maybe you can't do that backflip anymore. Maybe you can't do those splits anymore like you used to, but you can still perform. And so don't, like, you're here now, girl. Like, don't shrink yourself just because you feel like you can't do something. Like, still, like, give us everything that you can, because I swear we'll feel that passion. So I'm just, I love Tamisha this week. I loved her story more so than some of the garments, but that's enough for me this week.
I thought that I liked the first and the last look. I really disliked the second look. When she came around the corner, I was like, no, don't do this to me. Now I have to, like, not like something about you.
Mary J. Blige.
I just didn't like that look. But I love the color of the first look. I really love just how she sold it as she walked down the little runway for the mini challenge. I like the last look a lot. I don't like the big half bow thing, though. I wish that it was smaller. And part of the reason is this is the same thing I'm going to say every single time about her, is that she cuts her neck off so it doesn't look like she has a neck. Part of that is because she's wearing the breastplate and then she's trying to cover that up with a necklace or with a garment that comes up to here. But, like, there's a way to do that that doesn't cut off your neck. And we've seen queens do this. And I don't know if it's just, like, doing something that paints a little bit so it blends into your collarbone or whatever. But she just cuts herself short every single time. And it's getting on my nerves a little bit. And I'm like, maybe that's something I shouldn't be focusing on, but I can't help that she comes out like this to me every single week. And I'm like, oh, but you're so gorgeous. I want to see, like, you just own it. I want you to have that, like, long neck moment and just say, like, bask in me. And you just can't get that same level of energy or confidence when you don't have the neck to do that with. Like, it's something that I never really considered as much until the season. I think that her biggest problem, to your point, Iman, is she has stage presence, but you can tell she's holding back. And that's the thing. Like, there's an energy in her face that's missing. There's an energy in just even some of the movements she does. Like, she's moving and she's doing a great job, but you can tell there's a difference between when somebody moves at 85% and when somebody moves at 100%. And I feel like she's set on 85% right now. All of that said, I'm in love with her. I want her to stay. I love her in the confessional so much. I love her in this competition. And I just, I'm like cursing pre-season 13 Beth for saying, I don't know if I'm going to like her that much. I mean, is she even going to be able to, but I just want to go back in time and slap past Beth across the face and go, you don't say this about Tamisha Amon, Beth. And that kind of thing. But
I know, like, how dare you say such a thing about such an icon? How dare you?
Eat your words, Beth.
I know, right? I mean, I really hope she's Miss Congeniality. Okay. So on the performance, because I felt like she did have more energy when it was her solo. And I think she talked about this maybe in Untucked about, like, okay, let me wait for it to be my time to shine, then I'll shine. And that I totally understand. She's 49. 49 years old. Last year she had cancer. She couldn't walk. She's been performing for 30 years. Like, I do understand this. Oh, just bring more, just bring more. But Drag Race is also a super intense process. And the fatigue that you must feel after, you know, working for 12 hours a day. I think it's sort of similar almost to The Amazing Race of, like, oh, how could they not read their clue and make such a stupid mistake? It's like, because they haven't slept and they're exhausted and they stayed up all night practicing choreo. I mean, not for The Amazing Race. But I hope. I mean,
sometimes
maybe.
For The Amazing Race.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe for when they get to the mat, they're going to do a little dance for Phil. Anyway, so that is almost. And I'm not here to like make excuses for her, even though I am 100% here to make excuses for her. But I do feel like that is a reality, a little bit of her situation. Yeah. Because so Jace on Twitter reached out to me and sent me a video of her performing in 1996. Okay, so I was, what, 5? And Tamisha Amon is out here kicking butt on stage, giving us that energy. So I know that she has it in her, but it could, you know, it just could be something that is a product of age. Like if Drag Race had happened, you know, 20 years ago, she's front runner, you know, with a bullet, right? And so I have high hopes for her in terms of her success off of RuPaul's Drag Race, because she is a quote machine. She's a fabulous narrator. The whole segment with the practice of the choreography, she's like, I'm gonna let these kids like do their little thing. But then it gets to a point where she's like, all right, this isn't gonna work. She steps in, takes complete control. I was obsessed with her from that moment on. Yep. It was lovely to see, just being the adult that she is. And then also, again, to hear her story. She has biological children. She really has a legacy in the House of Amon. And, oh, Tandy, Amon Dupree.
I had no idea.
I didn't either. I lost my mind.
When she's like, yeah, my daughter, Tandy Amon Dupree. I was like, shut the front door. I know exactly who that is. Oh my God.
Should I have put two and two together? Yes. But I'm stupid. So, I mean, that, what was it, 2001? Like, performance from Miss Gay Black America is just like, whoa, wow. Kabam. Amazing. Anyway, she's leaving a legacy. Love her. Obsessed with her. Her verse I thought was really fun. Outfits. Not a fan. Last one, don't like as much as the judges. Hate the big thing, but she looks gorgeous in it. Color on the first one's great. Totally agree with the neck thing. Maybe she just has a short neck. You know, finding breastplates for women of color is much more challenging. So maybe the makeup blending thing isn't going to work. I don't know. Again, I'm here with the excuses. Don't care. Love her. She's amazing.
No, I love that. I love all of that. And I will say one last point about her is I do think one of the reasons why this B group is so sisterly is because they have her in it. She is bringing this. Vibe of support. She knows exactly how to talk to people when they are down, when they need encouragement, all those different kinds of things. And she single-handedly was the reason why Kimora was able to do something during the performance, because she knows how to work with people who aren't dancers, who aren't up to speed on the other things that other people are doing. And she was like, the way that you're explaining this to her is not going to click. And so she knew exactly how to step in and do that. That takes not only somebody who has already earned the respect of people, but it also takes somebody who's a really good communicator, who has experience and is willing to share that. And her ability to do that, I think, has infected the whole group. And that's why I feel like that group is so close knit in such a genuine way of support.
Yeah,
for sure.
You can just tell that she's really like lived a life. And that's like, I think that's what's drawing a lot of viewers into her, is because she does have a story. And you just want to see her do well. And so I'm dreading the day, if the day comes. I hope it doesn't come. I'm dreading the day that
it's coming.
She has to go. And it's for a reason, like, oh, you just didn't bring it. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to hear that. I want like what Michelle wants, and I just want her to bring it. And like, and I totally sympathize with everything Liana just said, because like, I don't know what it's like to be a cancer survivor. I also don't know what it's like to be a cancer survivor at 49, and 49 really isn't even all that old, but like, cancer does a number on your body. Like, it's not just like a little cold. Okay. Like, it's a whole thing that takes over your body. And so, yeah, like, you know, maybe she's probably still in recovery. You don't just recover after cancer in 1 year. Like, it takes time. So
in the middle of a pandemic, mind you, as well.
In the middle of a pandemic, right? So like, in the fact that she's even here, like, that's great within itself. And so I just hope that she's able to I don't know. I just maybe just like, can we just, like, hold off on the dancing competitions a little longer and then just, you know, give her some time on, like, you know, just some acting talent just or something? I don't know. Can we rig it? We rig the competition for Tamisha Iman?
Or just, like, keep her to give quotes because, like, the, you know, the children are excited. I don't know who gave them all this candy. The, you know, Kimora's eyes are ping pong balls going back and forth. All of that. Amazing. Amazing. Okay, well, we must move along and let's go to Minnesota, as we now remember. Beth, you are the highest on Utica Queen. How did you think she did this week with all of her looks?
Okay, she is quirky as hell. We already knew that. We've been new. And the other thing about her that I love the most is that she is another person that likes to take unique concepts, these different patterns, these things that clash and try to make them work. Now, do I think that these all fit the assignment? No. I don't think that the first one at all screams lady at all to me, but did I fucking love it? Yes, I did. I love this so, like, I don't mean this in a mean way. I mean it in, like, a silly way, but it was so stupid and I loved it. And, like, I'm in the minority here, but she is somebody who definitely has high concepts, and a really unique perspective and knows how to combine them in a way that is actually polished. Like, you wouldn't be able to pull something like any of these three looks off if you didn't have a level of polish. I think her vamp look was really interesting and cool. Like, I got this Elizabethan kind of vibe from it, with a very different styles kind of wig. She kind of carried over some of the balls into this other look. I didn't like the front of that dress. It looked like it wasn't hemmed as well, or like it was like unfinished in some comparison. Just like it looked like a piece of fabric that was just hanging there. So that's the portion that I'm like, wasn't as polished as I expect from you. And I watched this with some of my friends, and I know that I'm probably in the minority here, but I loved this last look. I thought it was really cool. I loved how she fixed her makeup to this. It was not, you know, an expected way, but the problem I have with it again is that the features of this dress that are standing out aren't the sheer aspects. And if the runway is sheer, I expect sheer to be the show of your outfit. Which, by the way, that was hard to say. So try to say that 5 times fast.
Sheer is the show of your outfit. Sheer show.
Sheer show. Sheer show. So that, to me, I don't think was the strongest sheer outfit, but I did appreciate seeing this on the runway, if that makes any sense. She, to me, was not the strongest this week altogether, but I so appreciate her. And my last thing I'll say about her is I know that we've been giving her, like, a lot of Thorgy vibes. And to me, she also brings, not in terms of style, but purely just, like, out of drag. If she shaved her head, she would be Sasha Velour's little, you know, brother, sister. I mean, like, 100%.
Like, yeah, I could see it.
There's just something about the obvious intelligence that she's bringing that's a little different. Like, Sasha's was very, like, book, intellectual, you know, that kind of thing. Hers is a different form of intelligence that comes out of creativity and life
experience.
It's very
Luna Lovegood.
Yes, exactly. Yes. You know she's a Ravenclaw, yes. Which, as a Ravenclaw, I am so happy to claim her. But this is, there's just aspects about her that I think just make her so interesting. And I love her in the confessional. She's just a person that I'm really happy is on this season.
I can't get over the Luna Lovegood, Oman. That's like the perfect comparison. I love it.
Very, very out there, but you can tell that they know what they're talking about, even if you don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I enjoy Utica this week. I wasn't the biggest, like, I don't feel like I, when she, you know, came around the bend for the runway, I was kind of like, okay, this is fun. This is cool. This is great. I liked, the balls are fun. It's very Chuck E. Cheese to me. Like, just, you know, she should just replace Chuck E. Cheese. Like, just make it, you know, Utica cheese. I don't know.
Utica
the second
cheese.
Look is probably, I mean, Utica sounds like a cheese anyway. Like, yeah, just spread some Utica on that. Make it, you know. Make it taste sharp. But yeah, the second look is kind of cool. I like the circle that kind of encompasses her head, and like the sideways pigtails are very interesting. I like the fact that she kind of has a different way to paint as well. I think the paint job for the runway look is probably my favorite. And during the, I didn't notice it on the runway, but during the Untucked, you can tell that like most of the ponytail is black, but then there are like there's some blue in the wig as well. There's some yellow in there, like matches the under part of her sheer outfit. So I thought that was like a nice touch of detail. So there's like specific details of Utica's outfits that if you like really take a second to look, you'll be like, oh, I see what you did there. That don't always come across because the runway is like, you know, you're in, you're out. And so is it like the best of the sheer outfits? No. And I think that she knew that as well, because during Untucked, she was like, I'm obviously not in the top, but I think I avoided the bottom as well. So maybe she just, you know, figured for the sheer run, she's like, she kind of phoned it in. So hopefully for the other one, she'll bring it a little bit more. But, you know, she was fine to me this week. I mean, she's quirky enough to make it work.
Right. And it's genuine, right? Like we talked about at the beginning. It doesn't feel put on in a fake way. For the lady in the vamp look, I loved the continuation of the crinkled, like the balls ended up like crinkled. Like either there's a story there. Either, you know, she transformed or the vamp, like, you know, attacked the lady or something like that. So there's a cool story there, but it would take a lot of explaining maybe for me to understand. So I don't know if that necessarily fits sort of what the challenge, the simplicity of the challenge, where like it's like, look, you're doing a lady.
One of the balls out and crush it in her hand. Then yes. People would be like, oh, seen it.
I get it. Yes. Mm-hmm. Not that the ball look screams lady,
right.
But, you know, in comparison, yeah, it looks more ladylike, very mod fantasy. And, you know, the story, again, I think is just very indicative of Utica. I hated the way that the second look pinned in the front at the bottom. I don't know, just something so weird about it. That was I couldn't stop staring at it. But that being said, I really liked all three of these looks, apart from just those few little details here and there. I'm with you, Beth. I really liked this last look. And that was in part because of the way it moved when she walked the runway. It's one thing to pose and take a still photograph. To post a picture on Instagram. It's another thing to be able to move through a space and create art as you move through the space. It adds this other dimension, like literally to what you're doing. And this is something that the garment did. Again, I also see the critiques of the sheer. The judges weren't that high on it, maybe because of that whole, oh, it didn't fit the sheer realness. But I thought it was really beautiful. And the paint goes right along with it. And those details with the wig. I thought it was really fun. Her performance had, for me, the line that I remembered after the performance, throughout the performance, and like the next day, which was, there's not a bone in my body, gonna wiggle to the top, wiggle to the top. I don't know why that stuck with me. It just did. And I hope for more of those kind of wiggle to the top, wiggle to the top, because those are little things I like using in my daily life. So the more quotes that Utica can give me, I'm going to hope that she wiggles to the top, wiggles to the top.
One of the lines that didn't even come from her, but was about her is it's going to be, I'm interested to see what RuPaul does moving forward. So RuPaul did a similar thing to Utica that he did to Kennedy Davenport, where he would name all the different airports, right? And he did,
yes.
And he did that for Utica, but he said Syracuse, Schenectady, Utica, which is funny because she is not from upstate New York, which is what he's trying to do, which is cities that are along I-90 in upstate New York. And I just died because I was like, does he not know that she's from Minnesota and not from Utica, New York? Because she's probably standing there like, I don't know what that means. Because I really don't think a lot of people, unless you're from upstate New York or have traveled extensively here, would understand that. I also love that in that reference, and I say this as an upstate New Yorker who, you know, lived and was born in Syracuse for a while, that he didn't do that in any order of like how it goes on I-90. So he literally went Syracuse, Schenectady, Utica. Like Utica is in between those two. So it was in Schenectady. I don't know. It was just really
probably
funny.
Figure it out as the season goes on. I didn't even know that there was like a method to his madness when he did that. Like I just figured that he was just naming airports. I didn't know that they were all within a sphere though. That's interesting.
Yeah, they're all in a line in on the New York State Thruway. And what was funny to me too is that one of my friends who literally lives in New York State was like, is he doing Greek names like Utica, Syracuse? I go, are you kidding me? He's doing upstate New York. And I said, besides Schenectady is Mohawk. It's not Greek. So I don't know. It was just like, Oh, it was a moment.
Yeah, either Rue or the writers will figure it out, hopefully, at some point.
Finale.
But I did love that. That really made me laugh. I was like, yes, because like one, it's a through joke. Love that. Mm-hmm. And it's for Utica. Perfect. Okay, we have one more queen to talk about today, and that is Kamora Hall, who barely made it to the runway. I genuinely thought, I know it was just an editing trick, but still, I was genuinely concerned for a brief moment, Amon, that Kamora is not going to make it.
I just wanted her to do well. And like she made the regular episode feel like we were watching Untucked. Like we have never got a chance to see the behind the scenes of a mini runway challenge until Kamora decided to grace us with her lateness. Like, what's going on, girl? Like, what is going on? Like, what exactly was it that was making you so late? You already have the outfits. Was it the paint? But you know how to beat your face. So what exactly was it that was causing you? Like, and it's not even like these are complicated outfits. Like, these are, they're stunning, but they're very simple. You put on the skirt, you put on the jacket, you put on the hat, you put on the shoes, you walk.
It's the paint. What was the joke that Denali said? It was something about like, oh, the joke is, well, our call time's at 10:30. So Kamora started getting ready after lunch.
Yeah. This is something that I think is a pretty prevalent thing that happens with some people when they come to Drag Race. We talk a lot about not being able to paint for television and those kind of things. But I think a lot of queens don't know how to paint for television film schedules. Some of these queens, it literally does take them 2-3, and I guess in her case, 5, although where are you doing, what is taking you 5 hours in this paint phase? Like, I don't get it. I don't get it at all. Paint face. What is wrong with me today? I cannot talk. Paint face.
Was it that Joey J that said that? Like, it doesn't look like you painted 5 hours. Like,
and
why
she's like, that's how you know that it did. But here's the thing. I find her, you know, out of drag to be very similar to how she looks in drag. Like, she has a naturally very beautiful, like, more feminine looking, like, aspects to her face. So it is just about these, like, little refined touches. So it is interesting to me that, like, girl, you know that you're coming to Drag Race. Do you think that they're going to give you 5 hours to do your makeup? No, you got to practice that. You got to practice. How do I cut things out? How do I put, like, speed up this practice? And if you aren't doing that, then you aren't preparing for your weaknesses.
You just better start painting in the hotel, girl. Better start painting in that Airbnb. So you just come to the workroom already set.
Unfortunately, she's living up to my expectation, which was not very high. Is it? People will recall I had her in last place. And I was really hoping to be.
I was just
proven wrong.
So like, I bought a ticket to the Kamora trade during the preseason, and I knew that like it might have been ill-advised, but I was like, nope, I'm not going to let anybody deter me. I'm going to be Kamora through into this season, and then this is what she does. Like, I'm just scared. But
the
she looks
outfits
so good,
are
though.
Gorgeous, though.
Yeah. Yes.
Like the outfits look fabulous, but
it's very
like
Britney Spears, like you said, like toxic. It's even reminding me a little bit, like her and Tamisha kind of reminded me of Whitney Houston and Rodgers and Hammerstein Cinderella with this, you know, very golden sort of like sheer look. But is it worth it? Is it worth it, girl?
I really,
is it worth the wait?
I really liked her outfits. I hated that hair with that last outfit. Like, I don't.
I did too.
Like, I also, like, I understand that she's, that's something that she's known for, is that particular kind of style. Really teased up and pulled back kind of thing, but I just don't think it went with that outfit. And to be honest too, in this picture for the second one, it looks good, but when she was moving around on the runway, her hair did not look good to me there either. And she really doesn't have hair to show off because it's more about the fascinator in the first look, but she's somebody to me that puts more stock into what she is wearing rather, and obviously spends a lot of time on her face and knows how to do like one kind of wig. So I just, it really pains me to say all these things because I really wanted her to do much better than I expected. But she's gorgeous. But show me
it's
more.
It's so hard. Like when your sister just won last season,
yeah.
It's like, damn.
That's, I think that's really tough. I think also we learned a little bit about her personal situation with her boyfriend. Mm-hmm. They've been together for what, eight years, but she, like, her boyfriend doesn't feel comfortable with her doing drag around him. And so she sort of lives this double life with having to do it separately, which, you know, I'm not a relationship expert, but that doesn't exactly sound the healthiest. And so she's saying she can only perform once a month, twice a month, something like that. So obviously that's going to impact her preparation for the show if she feels like she can't be practicing to do her makeup faster, you know, before she left for the show, because she lives with her boyfriend, so she can't really do anything there, which really just made me really empathetic towards her. I felt bad for her because of that situation that she's in. And, you know, I'm not saying break up with him, but
I am,
you know,
I'm fully saying break up with him. Girl, get out of there. Here's the reason why, because having somebody not allow you to be who you are, in my opinion, is a form of emotional abuse and manipulation. Mm-hmm. And if he has you storing all of your stuff in another area, which is, I mean, that can just be logistically fine or whatever, but you feel like you can't be your true self and harness your talents, and you don't have a partner that's fully willing to support you in that, bye. That is not somebody that you need.
And it's kind of like, what's the point? I mean, y'all already gay. And not to say that every gay man has to be, you know, a drag loving, you know, flaming homosexual. I'm not saying that, but like, y'all already gay. So I don't understand. Like, isn't that already a hump within itself? Like, why are we adding more humps to the hill? Like, get over it. I agree. That part really just made me feel like, damn, like, so you already had to come out to your parents, and then your boyfriend is like also putting expectations on you as well. I don't know if her boyfriend is also Asian, maybe that has something to do with it. Like, you know, it's the whole, it's just, you know, a double whammy there. I don't know, but yeah, that does make me feel for her. It just sucks. You know, I felt like she was going to do well, and I don't like being wrong, and obviously I'm wrong, and I just wanted to
know.
Who
knows? We don't know. She hasn't been eliminated. She could just absolutely turn this around and then turn the party. Maybe she needed a rough couple of first weeks. Maybe she needed the reality check of, like, girl, you need to learn how to paint your face faster.
I did love her during Untucked, because she was very honest about, like, how, yeah, I know that I've been fucking up, and I know that, like, I almost lost this chance again, like, I'm gonna go out there. If I have to lip sync, I'm gonna do my best. Like, I did my best during the dancing. I feel like I did a good job at the performance. Like, maybe it wasn't the best, but I came and I didn't give up. So she still has some fight in her, so we'll see.
So she's 29 years old, meaning that if she's been in this relationship for 8 years, which she would have been 28, she's been in that relationship since she was been 20 years old, right? Like, there's so much that changes and so much growth that happens, especially at that age, that, like, that may not be the same relationship. Like, just because you're in it doesn't mean you have to stay in it. So just to bring it back to that for 1 second. But I do think that this is, so those little touches that I think should be different, I think, is a byproduct of the lack of time, and that she felt like she had to rush. But the critique that she got, and especially I think Nicole described it as, it's like she's going grocery shopping without a list. She's just picking stuff off the shelf, sort of chilling, looking confused. That's something that I don't necessarily think is going to be able to improve rapidly enough in the competition. And I almost feel a little bit like, put her out of her misery. Is that bad to say? Like, she's going to struggle every time with the paint. She's going to struggle with the performances. And it just, it makes me nervous for her sort of mental health being on the show and, like, struggling with that. I mean, to be the one person in the bottom of the bottom group has to hurt so bad, because she was like, I know I'm in the bottom. I don't know who else is in the bottom, but I know I'm in the bottom. And to have that feeling, I like can't feel good.
Right.
Okay. So that being said, these outfits are freaking gorgeous. I love them, especially the second one. Oh my God. I love the structure of it. I want to wear them all. Fabulous. She looks like $1 million.
I mean, she's gorgeous.
And she's also just gorgeous anyway. Like, oh my God.
Yeah, she's got expensive tastes.
Yep, girl. All right, let's go ahead and talk about the lip sync before we start to wrap things up here. So, like we talked about, Denali and Rose are the two queens that are announced to be the winners. I like the way that they announced it, where it was like, look, you two are the winners. Everyone else is safe. Let's just, you know, especially for the TV audience, like we know no one's going home. Let's just like scoot on out of here. The lip sync was to If You Seek Amy. The budget for music. By Miss Britney Spears. Beth, what do you think about the performances? I know we talked a little bit about it, but do you think the right queen won here?
Yeah, I think the right queen won. To exactly Amon's point earlier, Rosé just couldn't get over the sleeves. She wasn't able to use them to her advantage. If I were her, I would have ripped them off and just performed without them. But Denali knew every beat and every word of that song and knew exactly what to do with it. And that to me, like, that was prime, like, college for me. So I'm aging myself slightly. And I literally looked at my friends and I went, oh my God, they said seek. They didn't even like censor it because if you know, you know. But I love that song. So I was really happy to, I just thought it was a fun lip sync. Altogether.
I think Rosé did take the sleeves off. I think that's something she did early in this performance, if I remember correctly.
Then I can't even remember that properly. That's how
I don't remember it either.
She was trying to do like a comedy thing that was definitely not working. But it was weird because it was like a mixture. Because Denali had a very specific purpose with the performance she was trying to give, like the whole atmosphere of it. And I think Rosé's was just a little inconsistent.
It did kind of like, it was kind of all over the place. And you could tell that by the end of it, you could tell that she was kind of like, I don't know if this probably isn't mine to take. And not to say, because she could have given Denali more of a run for her money, because I love the song. I love If You Seek Amy. I don't necessarily know if the two of them lived up to this iconic song by Miss Britney Spears. I think the moment that Denali won the lip sync was when she went all the way to the back, dropped, split her legs right open, and then started duck walking, or not duck walking, but whatever you would call the move where you're running with your legs bent like that, all of this and the voguing and all of that. That's when she won, because that's probably the most dynamic part of the entire performance. At that point, Rosé is just out here like, oh my God, If You Seek Amy, yeah. She's just like, what are you doing, girl?
See, that is a song that literally doesn't make sense, for the exception of like, it's supposed to be building up to a chorus, but the chorus doesn't match with what's happening in the song. So it's hard to like do what Rosé was doing, which is to try to make it a story, because it's not a story.
Mm-hmm.
It's Britney Spears trying to spell out F-U-C-K me. That is what she is trying to do, and the story doesn't make sense. So
okay, so watching the YouTube video version, plug for Rob Has Podcast YouTube page. So it seems like Rosé initially does a spinny thing with the sleeves and then just tosses them to the side.
I thought she kept them on the entire time. Like, I just, that's how like unmemorable this was to me.
I can't disagree though. So Denali was fabulous. Yeah, the way that she moves, again, like I've talked about this with the performance, like I think she's just, I'm just like really obsessed with her, so it's fine. Okay, is there anything from Untucked that you guys want to talk about? I think the biggest thing for me was the fact that we got the vote breakdown. Denali is announced winner, everyone's safe, moving on, blah blah blah. Untucked, so the vote breakdown was super interesting. We get the story about the nail that fell, Kimora's nail fell off, and apparently Utica went to go grab it, and that's why it was a unanimous vote to vote out Elliot with two T's.
Can I just say, they were so really wild. Strong to bring that up. That's not something that we know.
The nail glue.
Oh my god. Can you imagine walking 3 feet to another person who dropped something and picking it up?
The only thing that this really taught me was Kimora doesn't know how to stick on nails, because in her Meet the Queens video, she also lost a nail.
Again.
Girl, get some better glue. Is it expired? I don't know, but need to fix it.
I mean, I guess just be as kind as possible, because I mean, I'd have to admit, if that happened to me, my nail fell off and the girl just bent down and picked it up, I'd be like, I can't vote you off now either.
I know.
You know what? And the best part about that is, you know, Utica didn't do it for that. She just did it because she's a nice person. And the one thing we didn't talk about Utica is the fact that she talks about how she's a Seventh-day Adventist, and that came out in her lyrics a little bit. And I think a lot of people have conceptions about specifically different religions and such, and their viewpoints of LGBTQ individuals. And I think that this just adds just another layer of like what makes her so unique and beautiful is that she's just genuinely so nice and accepting and such. And you know, probably a lot of that does come from her particular take on her sect of religion. So I just want to point that out for her. But I think, you know, just picking up something and giving it to somebody else is probably just in her nature. And everybody else was like, wow, that was this. Oh, we have to keep you now. Like,
sisterhood. Sisters. Utica also had a great another quote, the I am the shit mama. I don't know, again, so the way she says it, I can't get over it. And we, you know, we obviously got to learn more about the queens and coming out to family and all that stuff, and I think especially with Tamisha, again, oh my god, love her, the, you know, the remembering like, oh, she's essentially 50, which means her parents, you know, are 70s. 80. Yeah, exactly. So like it puts that definitely in a different context of like what she's been through and her experiences, which I think have really shaped who she is as a queen, which I just love, 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 love. Okay, next week, finally, we are merging. We get Group A and Group B. The queens are going to be competing in the cheesy holiday movies on the RuPaul Mark channel, which once they said it, I was like, how did they not write this before? This is perfect. I love this.
Yeah, why was this the challenge for the Christmas special, which I'm still kind of pissed off that there was only one of those. I kind of want more.
Yeah, it seemed weird that they just did it once and then were like, okay, we're done. Bye. Mm-hmm.
I think it's because so many people were so vocal that they hated it. I don't think that they wanted to do it again. Although that's the point about Christmas stuff, though, people. It's supposed to be campy. You take a campy show, make it even campier. What more do you want?
Is that serious? You're supposed to hate it. That's part of
literally
the thing.
We got to see RuPaul and Michelle Visage lip sync and do flips and all these things.
Oh,
and it was definitely 100% them.
I'm about to go rewatch
definitely
that now.
Them. Oh no. All right, so we will be back next week, but before we hop off here, I think let's take a little bit of time to talk about Drag Race UK. So Drag Race UK, the second season, premiered this week on BBC. You can also, if you are looking for ways to watch it, WOW Presents Plus is a streaming service that has not only Drag Race UK, but also Drag Race Holland and Drag Race Thailand, as well as a bunch of other web series. It's only $4 a month, and there's a, you can get like a 7-day free trial. So I highly recommend checking it out. Super easy, high quality, if you are looking for links for all of this. Beth and I both watched Drag Race UK. We're gonna give just some overall thoughts on the experience.
Yeah, I think that after being just deprived of a proper kind of premiere of what we're used to, it was refreshing to see queens come into a competition, have two people lip sync at the bottom, and have someone go home. I love this group of queens. I think they really do a great job of representing the British style of drag, which has many more camp elements to it than the US does. There's different influences. There's different just references there. And I think that one of the things that was a little frustrating, specifically they had to serve two different looks. One was British LGBTQ icons or allies, and they had to pay an homage to one of them. And then the other one was to represent your hometown. And I just kind of felt like they were unnecessarily harsh in some areas of the hometown looks, especially since I'm sure specifically for RuPaul and Michelle, to a certain extent, they don't likely know a lot of these references. So they really had to listen to what the queens were, you know, describing and such. But this was, I think that this group of queens are fantastic. And I think that, I feel a certain way about the first elimination. I'm sure my thoughts are shared with the vast majority of people out there. But Liana, I want to hear what your thoughts were.
Yeah, I am going to bury the lead, okay?
Yeah, please do.
Let me first just give my overall impression. So Elizabeth Hurley as the guest judge was really fun. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, wow, such an icon. It just feels nice to see the level of judges be mimicked in the UK that it is in the United States, I felt. Also, you know, Graham Norton is back, who I love, and he's absolutely fabulous. The mini challenge was also a lot of fun. The balls. I don't even care. I love me some ball jokes. Judge? Graham Norton is a permanent judge.
So Graham Norton and Alan Carr switch on and off, similar to Carson.
It's like Ross and
Ross. Okay.
Permanent in the sense that is not always there, but swaps. Anyway, and it was a photo shoot also for the mini challenge, which is great. The maxi challenge being the two different looks, I thought was really fun. I also am like Rue and Michelle, don't exactly know all the references, but I can get it. Like, I can understand. And I can also just appreciate a good look for what it is, even if I don't necessarily get the reference. Which brings me to the judging that we got this week. Little bit of background. I did get spoiled a little bit in that I saw Jada Essence Hall tweet out a picture of David Bowie and a picture of the Brighton Square Palace thing, whatever. And she said, make it make sense. Okay. So we get to the end of the episode. So if you've watched Drag Race UK, you know what's up. Sorry, we're not going to fill it in if you haven't watched. Go watch. It's fabulous. Spoilers here. So skip if you want. Joe Black is in the top/bottom group. And I was like, oh, people were mad that Joe Black didn't win because they had some critique that was unfounded. No. That was not the case. Joe Black was in the freaking bottom for looking fabulous as a wonderful mermaid dress inspired version of David Bowie. And the Brighton Palace look, I don't even care if it doesn't look like white like the outside. It's gorgeous. Oh my God. I'm sorry. It doesn't fit the right time period piece that you're looking for. I'm sorry. This is more 15th century than 16th century. So I'm really going to have to give you some knocks on this one. But bitches walking in looking like the Sherwood Forest are allowed to just walk out whatever they want. Doesn't even matter that that doesn't match the time scale. Like, I'm sorry. What? Who did Joe Black piss off in production to warrant this? Not only being in the bottom, but then sit home? I'm sorry. What?
This, I haven't been as angry about these kind of like issues in terms of time period and such since the Herstory of the World icon thing in All Stars 2, where Katya was being read for her Princess Diana dress, not being realistic, while Detox is wearing a fucking neon like dress for Marie Antoinette. And I'm like, are we kidding here? Oh, I wish she had a train. This is a fucking I'm sorry, I'm swearing so much. This is a choreographed number. Are we kidding? This was the same thing. I literally watched it thinking Joe was going to win. And then Joe gets in the bottom two and can't move in this like tight dress and can't lip sync.
Oh, I was so mad. And like, I didn't watch any of the things for these queens. I didn't know who Joe Black was before. And here I am. I'm like, March time. Let's get out there. Like, this is, I was just baffled at the decision because it felt so off base. And I've had this feeling before. I think Canada's Drag Race also, there were some weeks where I was like, I just don't get this judging at all. Yeah. But this one made literally no sense to me. It felt like Joe Black either was like, in my contract, I'm coming for one episode only, which is highly not the case because you look at the rest of the looks that she brought, gorgeous, or pissed someone off in production and was like, we need to get Joe up here. That's my conspiracy theory. You cannot take my aluminum foil hat from me because I am standing by it.
Oh, it was God, I want to watch this.
Just no, you need to watch it, Amon.
Yeah, you need to look
like, here's
and
the
see.
Thing. Like, the queens were all properly really good. Like, they were fun, entertaining. That's a good group of queens. But there were two very clear bottoms. And one of them doesn't end up in the bottom two. She's in the bottom three, but she doesn't end up in the bottom two. And then you look at them comparatively for what they brought, how they acted on in the runway. And there's no comparison who should have been safe and at the very least, if not in the top.
Joe Black must have like broken COVID protocol or something, because if it sounds like what you guys are telling me, like, that's insane.
I'm telling you.
I know. It was wild. It was wild.
You could tell, too, that Graham Norton was trying to come up with, like, a reason why. He was like, yeah, I've seen that building, and isn't it white? Like, the way he couldn't even sell the critique. I was like, ah!
Oh, my God.
J'accuse! There's something wrong here.
It was, yeah, the mixture of who was in the top and who was in the bottom, the judging was just all over the place. Other than that, oh boy, did I have fun.
Yeah.
Like, I love that episode. I had a great time. Like Beth said, all the queens are really fun. There's some really strong personalities. The editing is a little uneven at the moment, so I'm hoping that we get to know some of the other queens a little bit more, but hopefully that will happen with time. But yeah, I mean, that's the headline. That's, you know, like, there was one article I read that was RuPaul's Drag Race UK boots the winner on most likely to be the winner on first. And I was like, they called their shot that first episode.
I mean, honestly, though, I think a lot of queens, when Joe Black walks in, they all go, that's our competition, because Joe Black is legendary in Britain. Everybody knows who Joe Black is in terms of drag performers. So you walk in, you have the money, the fame, the expectation, and in my opinion, you deliver on it and you get sent home for it, something's wrong. Something's fishy. And well, not well, in the fishy kind of drag sense.
Yeah, well, she pissed somebody off. Like, she had to have.
That's what I'm saying. Well, and I was assuming, because we were getting a little bit of that storyline of, oh, I'm really successful, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, she'll have her downfall eventually. She's not going to win, because this happens sometimes, or if queens who are really successful in the outside world come to Drag Race and then, you know, it's Drag Race. It's not the real world, right? And struggle from that perspective. But yeah, oh my God, it was shocking.
Yeah,
shocking. Anyway. So I feel better. Thank you guys for letting
my blood pressure is so high right rant. Now. Thinking about it. Yeah.
I know. Let's all take a deep breath, do some meditation, and come back next week, rest and refreshed, to talk about episode 4 of US. And we will do the same thing I think that we did this week, where, you know, some subset of us will probably watch Drag Race UK, and we'll share our opinions if we have strong opinions about something that happened. Just right now, we don't have time to do a full recap of the season. So unfortunately, this is what you're going to get. But you know what? You're going to like it. Okay.
I'll be sure to be caught up by next week. So I'll probably be complaining about Joe Black as well as
each week. This is the obligatory I can't believe that happened moment. So Amon will drive it next week. Beth will be circling us back 3 weeks from now. We will remember. We will never forget. All right. Oh, and they're doing next week for the UK. They're doing Rats the Rusical with live singing based on Cats. Ooh. So I'm very excited. Cats is one of my favorite musicals, so looking forward to it. Okay, thank you everyone for listening, and especially thank you Amon and Beth for going along on this journey with me. Amon, where can people find you on social media, and what are you up to?
You can follow me on Twitter at Amon Adwin. I am still doing my usual with Matt. We just covered a special episode for Naya Rivera, who was a guest on Drag Race at some point or other. Unfortunately, she did pass in 2020, so we had a special tribute episode to her where we asked all of our listeners to just send us all of their favorite memories of Naya Rivera. So if you are a Naya Rivera fan and a Glee fan, make sure that you check that episode out. And yeah.
And Beth, what about you? Where can people find you on social media? What are you up to?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at AugustaWind11. You can also find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/AugustaWind11, where you find me podcasting my weekly meltdown, talking about the challenge, as well as playing some games.
And you can find me on Twitter at LianaRHAP, talking about, of course, RuPaul's Drag Race. Kuya and I will be back, I think, this week, maybe next week, talking about another episode, but also sort of a mid-season recap of The Masked Dancer, which is incredibly stupid, but like stupid fun. Like it's more of take The Masked Singer and make the SNL skit version of it. That's The Masked Dancer, but it's like a legitimate show that's on television. So it's really just a gag of a time. We're having so much fun watching it, making fun of it a little bit. So we'll be back to talk about all of that. But otherwise, become a patron of RHAP.
Yes.
Just do it. Are you mad about the Joe Black issue? So are we. And you can support Joe Black. No. Yeah. But if you like the content that we're creating, go over to patreon.com and check out Rob Has a Podcast. The short link is either patreon.com/RHAP or robhasawebsite.com/Patreon. Also, leave your star ratings and reviews on iTunes. That helps to get us a little bit more visibility. Shout out to Scott St. Pierre for all his help behind the scenes. And we will talk to y'all soon. Bye.